We'll be reading tonight out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we'll read verses 6 and 7. I'll read on verse 6 and then I'll have you join me on verse number 7. If you'll go ahead and stand with me. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, I'll read verse number 6 and then you'll join me on verse number 7. Verse number 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come again. And Lord, we want to thank you so much for the safety you gave throughout the day. Thank you so much for the safety on the bus routes and for those driving into church. Father, we ask that you please just bless in the service. I pray that we please put everything out of our minds and just be focused on what you have for us in the sermon. Pray that you'd meet with us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Appreciate that. I want to speak tonight out of this passage, but we're not going to stay just here. We're going to turn over to another New Testament passage towards the end of the time in our sermon here tonight. And I want to speak on this subject, the expense for his harvest. Now, we're turning our attention to the harvest, our theme for this year's missions conference, our hearts for his harvest, our hearts for his harvest. And remember from the message this morning that his work is the harvest. That's what the Lord's work is. Jesus talked about finishing his Father's work in John 4:34, and immediately in the next verse started talking about the harvest. Okay, so our hearts for his harvest, and I've taken the word heart, made an acrostic out of it, and I'm preaching through these next several service times from that acrostic heart. This morning we talked about a heart for his harvest. And tonight I want to speak about the expense for his harvest. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to host a missions conference. And I ask again that you will prepare Brother Johnson and our four missionary families for their time with us. And Lord, would you prepare our hearts for what he has to say and preach. And Lord, would you prepare us to be a blessing to these four missionaries who have answered your call to take the gospel to their respective part of the world. Help me tonight, Lord. I so want this conference to be helpful to our church for the cause of world missions. But Lord, I want it to be helpful to each individual and family here at Faith Baptist. Lord, we know the blessings, family-related blessings, of being involved in Faith Promise missions and being involved in missions conferences. It's just a certain thing we can't hardly explain, but you put a blessing on it, a premium on it. And I pray for this church and these families and people. Lord, that you'll help us to see the opportunity in front of us and not miss it. Guide my words tonight, my thoughts. Thank you for these folks who've come out on this kind of an evening. I pray that you'll give us a good time in your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Our message this morning, a heart for his harvest, because all things spiritual begin with the heart. And in order to develop a heart for his harvest, it starts with our eyes. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Focus your attention. And if you'll focus your attention on the multitudes that make up the fields, you will fuel your affection. Friend, if all we do is keep our eyes focused on what is around us, if it's all on us, if it's all about me and mine, I'll never have a heart for his harvest. But if I can get my eyes, if I can get my attention focused on the harvest, like Jesus said, fellas, lift up your eyes and look at the end of that chapter, the end of that passage there, talks about many people came from that city and believed on the Lord Jesus because of the witness of that woman. And I believe that's the harvest that he asked his disciples to get their eyes on. Look at this, people. This is what you need to put your eyes on. And we need to remember 7,062,350,000 plus people on this planet. And we must focus our attention on them, and that will fuel our affection. Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. What I'm looking at is going to move me, going to motivate me, stir me, challenge me. And friend, I don't know about you, but when I look at a picture like I talked about this morning, a sea of humanity there, 1.8 million people, it moves me. I can't make out any individual face in that picture. But I encourage you to look at it. Sometime this week, find an opportunity. And look at that picture and just look at that crowd of people there. And that is only 0.25% of the world's population that God looks down on. And it ought to move our hearts to think about that. What great percentage of that number of people is going to hell to spend it apart from God and apart from the Lord Jesus. Now, for the letter E tonight, it was difficult for me. I had several things praying and asking God, Lord, what can I do for Missions Conference this year? And I don't know what to say about it. You know, we come through a year like we just had where God blessed us financially again, and we were able to do so much on the mortgage and have a surplus and be a blessing to people along the way. We really weren't selfish. We helped people. We hosted a conference that costed about $23,000 for folks to come and be a part of. We didn't try to be selfish with the monies God gave us and still had a great year. And friend, I don't think you or I, none of us will know to what extent a missions conference like we had last February gains the favor of God. It's not that we merit anything. We have nothing to bring to God to merit. They have nothing to bring to God to merit. Oh, nothing. I think about it, I was teaching the class up at school on Thursday and how that Daniel, and he's faced the edict of being put to death by Nebuchadnezzar, him and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And he went to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, and he said, hey, look, he said, or Melzar, he said, look, he said, you got to give us some time. And then they began to pray, and he started his prayer like this. He said, Lord, we desire the mercies of the God of heaven. Daniel didn't go to God with one merit. Now, if it had been me and you, Lord, I read my Bible and I go to church 3 times a week and my kids are in the Christian school and I do this and I do that. And look, you've got to get me out of this pickle because of all I am. I'm going to tell you, we don't get very far praying like that. But when you start talking to God about his mercy, the Old Testament says over and over again, his mercy endureth forever. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Amen. That's what God does. That's wonderful. Now, so it's not like we're gaining favor with God by having a missions conference, but I think God does in his mercy favor a church that puts an emphasis on getting the gospel around the world. So I had a hard time. Lord, what about this E? And I thought about, you know, I'd like to preach on the excitement of the harvest. The excitement of the harvest. My wife grew up on a farm. You know that. Joyce's dad was a farmer. He retired a farmer. Had that little farm out there and sold the feed and had the turkeys and the pigs and the corn and the grain. I remember that so vividly. Of course, she remembers it so much more vividly than I do. And she tells about how that in the fall of the years, as harvest time drew near, how everybody got excited. The whole community got excited. It was harvest time. And they got the old cribs empty, you know, back in the days of corn cribs. Instead of so many grain bins and corn cribs, they got the cribs empty. And they got their machinery ready. And the sound of the tractor and the sound of the corn picker, which soon became the combine. And the empty grain wagons going out to the field clanging. Bang, bang, clang, clang, clang. You've heard them going out there right behind the tractors or behind the pickup trucks. Empty. But then coming back in, they didn't clang. They squeaked and they groaned and they creaked under the weight of all that grain that they cut out of the field. And you could hear that, and just all the sounds of the harvest and the empty grain wagons. And it was an exciting time. She talked about that. And you know, the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke that harvest time is an exciting time up in heaven. When there's one sinner saved. I thought about last Sunday. Now this morning we had two little girls come over from junior church last Sunday. I think it was that one lone girl walked down that aisle. She'd been over junior church and trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Maybe for us, it was kind of like, well, that's sweet, that's good, amen. But you know, the Bible says they were rejoicing in the angels of the presence of God over that little girl getting saved. He gave her heart to Christ. And I want to tell you, there's excitement when it comes to harvest. It's an exciting time. And then I thought, well, I ought to preach, but I'm not going to preach on that, okay? I'm not going to preach on that at all. I didn't want to mention it, okay? So then I thought, well, I'll preach on the effort for the harvest. And the effort for the harvest. And many, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into the harvest. Many farmers will hire extra help for the harvest. There's fellows here at the church that once in a while, you know, will try to pick up a little extra money by driving a grain wagon out, you know, and working for a farmer for just a few weeks there during harvest time. And there's a lot of effort that goes into it. Wives have lunches to prepare. And I've seen them here in this area. You go out there, here's the big combine parked by the fence by the road there. And a wife with a pickup truck, and you see her getting out of the truck, and she's got bags and the lunches and coolers with the drinks and so forth. And the wives fix the lunches and the dinners, and they take them to the field so the men can work without stopping. And there are the grain trucks and the semis, and they're up early and they're going late, and the elevators are running, and I can hear the fans on the grain bins as they're drying the crop, drying the grain, and they just roar, you know, with that the noise, and it's busy. And the farmers are working long hours because it's harvest time. It's get the crop in. The days are shorter. We have no idea what Mother Nature will do. Amen to that. We have no idea what Mother Nature will do. And so the effort is intensified. And if you live in a rural area, in a small, maybe a farm community, it seems like the whole community gets engulfed in a sense of urgency because it's harvest time. And you know, friend, the days are getting shorter. We have no idea which one will be our last before Jesus comes. And the truth of the matter is, the whole Christian community should be engaged in the effort to reap the harvest. Everybody. And I want to tell you something, friend. I want that to be a blessing. If the percentage of people involved in reaping the harvest through Faith Promise Missions would go up this year. You don't have to be involved. So you don't have to be the highest. You don't have to be the biggest giver in Faith Promise Missions. Just give. Just a little bit. And just the sense of urgency and the whole community, the whole Christian community engaged in the effort. But I'm not going to preach on the effort of the harvest. I'm not going to preach on the excitement of the harvest. No, I thought I'd just mention that in passing, all right? But I want to speak tonight for a few minutes on the expense for his harvest. The expense for his harvest. Because in verse number 6, Paul talks about chapter 6. Paul speaks of sowing and reaping. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully, reap also bountifully. Now you know that Bible writers often used agriculture to teach us of spiritual truths, of spiritual matters. Sowing and reaping. Well, there's so much to say in that. But this is what I want to talk about tonight. It cost a farmer to have a harvest. It cost him. A farmer's not going to have a harvest without expense. You see, there is expense when it comes to sowing, and there is expense in some cases when it comes to watering, and there is expense when it comes to cultivating, and there is expense when it comes to fertilizing, and there is expense when it comes to herbicide. There's expense when it comes to reaping. There's fuel expense. There's land expense. There's machinery expense. It's a pretty expensive thing to have a harvest. Just the way it is. If you don't have an expense, you're not willing to part with the expense, you're not going to see the harvest. I think about the book of Ruth over there, chapter 2. Boaz went to Ruth. He saw her gleaning in the fields, you know. And he went up to her and he said, "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." Boaz had a bunch of young men, hired men, working out there in the fields to bring the harvest in, the barley harvest, the wheat harvest. In fact, Jeff says in verse number 23 that she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. Now, harvest season in Israel did not coincide with what you and I know as harvest time here in the States. The main crops over in Israel were barley and wheat, just like the book of Ruth says. Barley and wheat, and barley harvest began at the end of March and the 1st of April, and barley harvest ended at the end of April, 1st of May, maybe 4 or 5, 6 weeks there. Wheat harvest began a few weeks later at the end of May and early June, and the wheat harvest ended the end of June, early July. So for a good 10 weeks with a couple of weeks in the middle, it was harvest time, it was reaping time, and there were hired laborers and there was cost. And when you add it all up, there is great expense for a harvest. Great expense. Marilyn Christner, who married Joyce's dad, John's wife Marilyn, her husband was a farmer, but he was killed, died very early in their married life, but she stayed on the farm in Fairfield, Iowa there, and her son Jim farms there now, and he's teamed up with some of the neighbors, and she was telling me last fall that she goes to the farm every year, rides the combine with Jim, and spends a day in the field with her son picking corn and stuff. And she said, Terry, that the fuel truck comes by, it takes $500 to fill up one tractor. $500. Fill up one tractor. And if that tractor works all day long, if they keep that tractor moving through many, many hours of the day, eats up about that whole tank of fuel. $500. Day after day after day after day. See, you cannot reap a crop if you spare expense along the way. Can't do it. There'll be no crop to reap if you don't sow. And so Paul said, if you want to reap bountifully, you got to sow bountifully. If you want to have a bountiful harvest, it's going to cost you. There's going to be an expense for his harvest. Now let me talk about this. The bottom line when it comes to missions is this. I'm talking about Faith Baptist Church. We need missionaries to reap the harvest. That's what we need. They are the laborers in the field. They are on the scene. If you let me put it this way, they are the ones that are driving the tractors. They're the ones that are driving the combines. They're the ones that are out in the grain trucks. They're the ones who are working down at the elevator. Without the laborers, there is no harvest. None. And so missionaries are not our, I've said over the years, you know, when it's missions conference time, or like this Wednesday night, when Brother Ferguson comes to report, it's not the attitude of, oh no, another missionary. No, no, no. It's the attitude of, praise God, another missionary. Oh yes. Yes. We need them. We need them. It is our job to get the Lord's harvest in. It's God's harvest, and He calls and He prepares the laborers for His harvest, but it's up to you and me to send those He calls. You say, well, God's kind of got it good. It's His harvest, and He prepares people to go to the harvest, but He expects us to pay the price to send them. Oh, but there's a lot of blessings on getting in on the expense. There's a lot of blessings on getting in on the expense. And God lets us share in that. You cannot send laborers without cost. You can't do it. Now let me tell you how to enjoy a missions conference. It's settle one issue right now. You can't plan to harvest without cost. So just settle that in your heart. You can't plan to harvest without cost. And I've said it before, as long as the cause of Christ and this church is alive, there's going to be a cost when it comes to the harvest. Now, we also have that settled. Nobody ought to be quiet. Nobody ought to be offended. Nobody ought to shrink back because missions conference time and they're going to say something about money. We ought to have that settled, folks. We ought to have it settled. Just have it settled. And look, if you're right with God and you're seeking the Lord's will, the Lord's not going to demand more out of you than you can handle. You might let some man pressure you. You might let somebody put pressure on you if you're comparing yourselves among yourselves and measuring yourselves by yourselves. But God's not going to put on you more than you can handle. The Lord's not going to be debtor to any man. He's not going to create that kind of thing. No. So relax. But we might as well understand that the harvest, there's expense when it comes to the harvest. You're not going to have a crop without cost. So we just got to get that settled. That's how it is. It'll be that way till Jesus comes. Or be that way till the church dies. Then it won't cost us anything. Financially. It'll cost us a whole lot more than money. So listen carefully. Hey, we've got to get that settled. Now, thankfully, the way the plan is set up biblically, which I believe got its start in the first century, and I don't have any plans on preaching that message that I've preached so many times here over these years. I don't have any plans right now. God hasn't told me to do that, but if He does, I will. But you know in that message how this thing got its start in the first century. First century from the Word of God. Several churches worked together to support the laborers. Now listen, I did a little thinking in my mind. If we had to, as a church, fully finance a laborer for the harvest, okay? If no other church was involved, and other churches in the area, no other churches around the country, if Faith Baptist Church had to fully finance a laborer for the harvest, according to what we gave last year, I'm talking about the English church, okay, not the Spanish. According to what we gave last year, we would have only been able to have 3 missionaries on the field. And that's at $150,000. You figure it out this way: some missionary families are raising $4,000 a month to go to the field. Some are raising $6,000 a month, depending on where they go, averaging maybe about $4,500 to $5,000. And the best way you can dice up $150,000 at the maximum, we'd be able to put about 3 missionary families on the field. So 3 missionary families in 3 different places is all we could handle, according to what we gave last year. But according to how the pattern was developed, we can have a small part in many fields. That's the way it was in the Scripture. All of those churches in Macedonia gave when the Apostle Paul needed some help financially down in Corinth. All those churches together gave. And you know, when we band together with other independent Baptist churches around America, somebody asked me the other day, I forget who it was, somebody asked me, how many missionaries? I get asked this often. How many missionaries do we support? And I got tired of saying, I don't know. So I went and counted. And I counted according to our support list. Not all of our missionary projects, people, are on the walls out here, okay? But when we counted it all up, we support 179 different missionaries, projects, ministries, evangelists, boards, church planners. We support 179 on a monthly basis. 179. And then when you count Jim Belial in there, we support him as he goes on missionary trips. There's 180 different people receiving support money, including Brent Gellis and others like that, including the ones from our church. There's 179. Now listen, I tried to get this down too. As best as I can tell, we've got 180 missionary entities covering about 65 different countries around the world. Now, when I say different countries, I'm not talking about I counted Canada as one country. But you got several missionaries in Canada. We got people from Prince Edward Island to Vancouver. Okay? And in between. And then I counted the Philippines as one country. We got several missionaries in the Philippines. I counted Mexico as one country. And we got several missionaries down in Mexico. And some of those missionaries aren't close to each other. They're miles and miles and miles apart. But we have a missionary voice on 65 different countries worldwide. And that's not counting the continent of Africa as one country. That's counting Uganda and Kenya and South Africa and Tanzania and Madagascar. Okay. Countries in Europe and countries in Asia. 65 countries worldwide. Now, it makes sense to do it the way God set it up, because it gives us an opportunity to touch the world. To have that many missionaries touching 65 different countries. I'm simply saying there is an expense to get those laborers to the field. There's an expense to keep those laborers on the field. And that's our cost. That's our expense. But you know the blessing is whatever we put out to keep a missionary on the field, God gives that back. Somehow, some way. It doesn't drop dollar bills out of the sky. But God gives it back some way. And I want you to turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 for just a minute or two here. James chapter 5. And I want to draw your attention to a passage I don't think I've ever preached from when it comes to missions. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach from this passage when it comes to missions. It's not really a missions passage. But I want to take something out of this as I get ready to draw this thing to a close here in a little bit and just show us something tonight. I'm talking about the expense for the harvest. Friend, it ought not be a Christian's attitude. Oh, brother, here we go again. I'm going to be talking about money. No. Here it is before us. We have another opportunity to touch another part of the world with the gospel of Christ. These missionary families that God has called, there's an expense for the harvest. Now look at James chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. You say, well, that knocks me out right there. Well, don't move so fast. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now look, I know this is speaking about employers who took advantage of employees. I know that. And we are not the missionary's employer. And the missionary is not our employee. So I know it's not apples to apples. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. We don't want to be guilty of the same thing that these men were guilty of. You know what they were guilty of? These employers had defrauded the laborers out of money that rightly should have been theirs. They'd kept it back. Defrauded them. And it caused the laborers difficulty. And God said that the cries of those laborers who were experiencing difficulty because the wealthy had held back their just wages had reached his ears. Is that what you read in that verse? Verse number 4. The cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ultimately, the wealthy employers were rebuked because they had heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, I know this is not a missions passage. I understand the context here. But if there's one thing we can learn as a church from this passage is this. We don't want the laborers to suffer because we have heaped treasure together. We don't want them to suffer. We don't want them to suffer. Laborers are necessary. There is an expense for the harvest. Some laborers have already gone. Others are readying to go. You know, and Jared and Bernadette probably went back up north tonight to beat the in case there was any weather problems. But I was so excited for them. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to go preach a missions conference for Brother John Booth out in Clinton, Iowa. And he called me this week and he said, Brother, he said, you still planning to come? Yes, sir, I'm still planning to come. He said, okay. He said, hey, I only had two missionary guests coming and one of them can't come. Do you know of any missionary couple that would be available for a missionary for a Faith Promise conference? I said, let me pray about this. Yes, sir, here we go. And so I told him about Jared and Bernadette, and he called them right off. He got off the phone, he called them and invited them to the missions conference. Now, folks, I don't know this, and Jared, you know, Jared is just, he's a plotter. He gets the job done. I'd hate to be in his shoes. I'm glad he's not here tonight to hear me say that. And I told him, Rich, I said, y'all face a long process. What these missionaries go through right now, when God's called them to go to a mission field to try to raise money to get there, it's horrible. They can't even make contact. They have a hard time making contact. They have a hard time getting in for a meeting. It's just the climate right now. It's incredible. And he's not going to some place like Madagascar, some romantic, you know, mystic place where nobody's gone before. We're in Puerto Rico. Now, I'm not trying to paint an impossible picture, because what God's in this thing, and I think God's going to help. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. And that's just one missionary couple. And you multiply that times how many missionary couples from the independent Baptist church ranks are surrendering to go to the mission field. And you know what? They can't, and they grind it out for 3 and 4 years in some cases to raise the proper financial support. And if we're heaping it up, and they're having difficulty, and they're saying, oh, God, you got to help us. We need money to get to the next meeting. And I need money to take care of the sick child this week. And, Lord, not a whole lot came in last month. And we're trying to get to the next place. Lord, could you prove? And the cries of the laborers enter into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. Oh, my goodness. The Lord of the harvest. So I'm simply saying, church, listen, this time of the year is so incredibly important. And I'm afraid sometimes we get in such a, you know, and I try to think outside the box, and what can we do to make it a little bit different, to motivate people, to keep people interested. And after a while, you come to the place where you just say, you know what? We just need to be interested because it's right to be interested. And if we can make it interesting and exciting and have a little fun along the way, it's wonderful. But, you know, what else can we do when it comes to this matter of missions? But we need this meeting, and we've got to have it, and they need it. The missionaries need it. And the harvest field is full, and Jesus said it's ripe. And we got to focus our attention and fuel our affection and understand that in order to reach the harvest, there's going to be an expense. It's going to be an expense. It's not going to come in without cost. They don't go get bushels of corn without cost. They don't bring in bushels of beans without cost. Beans, corn, cost to harvest. We're talking about eternal souls. We're talking about eternal souls. My friend, listen, and I'm not trying to put undue pressure on God's people. I don't think God is disappointed with our things. I hope He's not disappointed with things. Look at this. I don't even know how I'm going to get these things home. Look at all that. It's incredible. But let me show you where it gets to be a hindrance. I believe it's in those two words in verse number 3 words. Heaped treasure together. You got that word heaped. That's piling it up. We came through 2 decades, almost 20 years, of unprecedented financial prosperity. And missions giving did not go up much. I'm not talking about us here. I'm talking about collectively. And I understand it costs more to live. I understand that. It costs more now for groceries. It costs more for gas now. It costs more for all that stuff. I understand all that. But friend, I wonder if God, one of the reasons God gave us that 2 decades of financial prosperity, if he wasn't looking for His people to say, you know what, man alive, I have enough to live very comfortably, and now I can take wads and give it for the harvest. But instead, we heaped it. Man! I've got more than I know what to do with. What shall I do? I know what I'll do. I won't look for mine to give it to. I'll tear down and build bigger. So I can heap more for me. That's our problem. We haven't learned what this, when to use this word. Enough. Enough. And it's not that I have some money tied up in things. It's that I don't want to get to the place where I have so much tied up in things that are material and temporal that I don't have anything left for that which is eternal. And friend, I'm saying if it's $5 a week. And I know who I'm preaching to tonight. I know who I'm preaching to. I know we got families and it's like this. It's just it's week to week. It's just pop your head up, pop your nose above the waterline just to get another breath for 6 or 7 days. I understand that in some cases. I understand that. Well, if you can throw $3 or $4 in the plate as seed money, as gift money, as faith promise money, as missions money, I just have to believe God will bless that. It shows your heart for His harvest. You know, I can't let go of a whole lot because it's costing me this much just to survive, but I can throw a little bit. And if you're to the place where it's not costing you all that you have coming in to survive, look for an opportunity. Does God want you to increase this year? That's all I'm going to hardly say about it. I don't know what Dr. Johnson's going to preach. He can preach whatever God lets him. He can come in here. If he wants to preach 6 messages on money or 5 messages on money, he can do it. This is about all I'm saying about it. This is about all I'm saying. Just seek God and ask the Lord and pray, God, what is your will for me? You know, and if God doesn't lead you to increase, okay. But man, just make sure that we're not in this mentality. We're just heaping it and heaping it and heaping it and heaping it. And the laborers are crying, saying, God, we're trying to get to the harvest, but we can't get there. And that goes into the ears of the Lord of harvest. Dangerous. So missions conference is about raising money to offset the expense for the harvest. There's expense. Now listen, do you know why the farmer is willing to go to the expense? Because the worth of the harvest outweighs the cost of the expense. The cost of the harvest. The worth of the harvest outweighs the cost of the harvest. I called Brother Maxwell this afternoon. He didn't know what they were going to do tonight. And he said, preachers, if we don't come to hold it against us, we just don't know what it's going to do. And I understand that. They're down in Indiana, down in Kentland now. I said, Brian, what is the average cost of planting an acre of corn? All things considered, what does it cost a farmer? Just average. He said, well, Pastor, he said, if you don't count land expense, if he owns his land, it cost him about $500 to plant an acre of corn. That's the seed, the fuel, the machinery, the upkeep, the herbicide, the fertilizer. Okay, $500 to plant an acre of corn. I said, okay, now, Brother Brian, what's his income off an acre? He said, if it's good, it could be a little over $1,000. Most time, it's about $950 to $975 an acre. So the farmer makes his money back and almost 100% profit. Man, how can these farmers, at the rate of fuel and those big tractors and the cost of seed, and you see them out there in the spring, how can they afford to go to all of that cost to put it in the ground? Because they know it's coming back. Yeah. There's expense to send and keep the laborers on the field. But the worth of this harvest is out of this world. And friend, I know it may sound trite to you. You hear missionaries come through here and say, you know, Faith Baptist Church, we thank you for your faithful giving, and because you gave, one of these days when you get to heaven, some black or brown or yellow-skinned or red-skinned people are going to come up to you in heaven and say, thank you for giving. Now, that's a nice little trite missionary thing to say. I don't think so. I think that's real. It won't be till we get to heaven, till we realize the worth of the harvest. Phew. You mean that little bit of sum of money I gave every week to help keep that missionary on the field and You're in heaven. Oh, and not only you, but your dad, your brother, his kids, his wife, and her dad and mom got saved. You mean tell me, you and her neighbor and the doctor that you went to see over in the Philippines, and all of you got reached because Doug Sisson was in General Santos? Well, glory. I think the worth of the harvest far outweighs the cost of the harvest. Amen. That's God's great plan, isn't it? And it's so fun to be involved in it. This is the happiest time of the year. I mean that with all of my heart. It's the happiest time of the year. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I hope that you'll love it. And I hope that you'll enter into it. You already have, it seems like, with your heart. A heart for His harvest. Focus your attention. It'll fuel your affection. And then just get this matter settled. The harvest costs money. Without cost, you have no harvest. You obey God. God's not some hard taskmaster waiting just to smack you over the head. But He's going to lead you and He's going to guide you. If you just get in His path and say, Lord, take this lead, I'll follow. You do what God wants, I'll be happy, He'll be happy. Well, it doesn't matter if I'm happy. It matters if He's happy. God will bless you and bless this church. It'll be a wonderful year given to missions. Amen? Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening tonight. The expense for His harvest. Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to be a part of this great plan. Oh, it's a joy. And now, Lord, would You help us just to settle in. Not to face these days with anxiety and dread. But, Lord, to look to these days as opportunity and, Lord, just the privilege of being involved in Your great work. And yes, there's expense for the harvest. But, oh, the worth of that harvest when it's reaped is out of this world. So, Lord, bless us now to be obedient, to seek You. Lead every one of us, I pray. May we do Your will. In Jesus' name.